You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is Wednesday, which means it's time to talk our state's history. Yes, Michigan, the feeling's forever. Yes, Michigan, the feeling's forever.
Beyond the forests you will see my cities rise majestically. I am Michigan.
All right. If you recognize that jingle and you started singing along, you're probably not alone. You're also probably not 20 because that Yes, Michigan tourism ad campaign is from the 1980s. Tourism certainly part of the lifeblood of our state. Think of this. Last year, out-of-staters spent more than $2 billion while touring our peninsulas. But when did Michigan tourism campaigns begin? Let's find out now as we welcome the state archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. So, Mark, we know the state's current ad campaign is pure Michigan. We've got, you know, Michigan's Tim Allen voicing them and the beautiful music by Rachel Portman. But what's the oldest ad campaign to try to lure people to Michigan?
Yeah, there was no song when the first one came around. We have to go all the way back to 1873, and a New Yorker named Charles Halleck wrote a book called The Fishing Tourist, and he dedicated an entire chapter titled The Michigan Peninsula and goes through blow by blow of all the lakes and streams he fished and how wonderful it was and how everybody should come here. That's also the exact time that the fish, the grayling, was first discovered in North America up near the town of Grayling, which is named after that fish. So it was this huge boon to state tourism. I mean, it wasn't an organized effort, but this gentleman just wrote a chapter and people started flocking here for the fishing. It was also featured in Scribner's Almanac. Michigan was featured in that almanac in the late 1800s for hunting and fishing. But this time period's really about specific resorts or shipping and railroad lines promoting themselves as a means to go north as opposed to the final destination or an idea of regional or statewide tourism. A great example is the Grand Rapids and Indiana Railroad's campaign in the 1870s, which they dubbed themselves the Fishing Line. And all their literature was either watermarked with the grayling fish, because that was the big discovery at the time, or a person with a fish hooked on their fishing line.
And then, so that's starting in the late 19th century. Take us through the 20th century. How did tourism campaigns evolve?
They started after we had better roads and proliferation of the automobile. Hugh Gray, in the late teens, comes out of West Michigan and starts an organization to promote tourism as we know it today. He was responsible for one of the first state slogans, Carefree Days, in Michigan. He also promoted something called the West Michigan Pike. It was a beach town tour along West Michigan. And it's the first time you see an association partnering with towns to boost their tourism. So it's really the forerunner of chambers of commerce. And then you also see these same organizations pop up in the UP, Northeast Michigan, Southeast Michigan, all following West Michigan's lead. You also see an interest in camping because people are getting out to these remote locations and they start camping, which pushes the Department of Conservation, which was organized in 1921 and is the predecessor to the DNR, think seriously about state park development, including camping facilities. And I think you also have to give a nod to the Civilian Conservation Corps, their work in the 30s that led to a lot of forest restoration and public works that are still enjoyed today.
Indeed. I remember putting in our canoe up near Kalkaska at the Triple C Bridge, which they built. So let's talk about the 50s, because the state then decided we need to get in on this and what, create Michigan Week? What's that about?
Yeah, in the 50s, the Economic Development Commission jumped on board. So it wasn't really tourism, it was more boosterism for retailers. So they created the Michigan Week campaign where they created all sorts of promotional materials for retailers, including grocery stores and grocers, promoting Michigan's produce that was created here. And the very first symbol of that was the robin. It was actually called Chesty Robin.
We use it
now at the Michigan History Center. We renamed it Proud Robin for obvious reasons, but it's what's on our admission sticker at the Michigan History Center. Mm-hmm. But all this material was just sent out, and they did different iterations every few years of the robin all the way into the late 1960s. And Michigan Week, if you're familiar with Yes, Michigan, you're familiar with Michigan Week as well. It's this promotion of everything that's great in Michigan in the third week of May. It's sort of gone through peaks and valleys as far as who's promoting it. I think it's still officially run by a group down in Sturgis, but it's really sort of lost the luster that it had in the past. But in the heyday of in the 50s and 60s, they did things like they pressed 45 records to be sent out to the radio stations to be played on air, and we have one in the collections at the archives, and we queued it up and converted it to digital, and we listened to Michigan the Beautiful, which I'll let you decide whether you think this is a really energetic promotion of the state of Michigan.
All right, go. Okay, that sounds like Michigan the Dirge, the Michigan the
Michigan
Funeral.
Requiem, yes.
Michigan Requiem, pretty funny.
Well, there's always a B-side, and so the B-side to this is a jaunty little number by the University of Michigan Symphony Band.
So when TV became mainstream after World War II, did the tourism campaigns have to up their game? What did we see?
Yeah, you saw Water Wonderland, and then it moved to Winter Water Wonderland. And one of my favorites that I don't think really caught on was one of the early 70s called The Michigans. And then the subtitle is The Almost Islands of the Great Lakes. That was a 71 campaign by the famed Detroit agency Ross Roy.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, this is conjecture on my point, but this is right at the dawn of the movement for the UP to essentially secede and become the superior state. So here you have the only evidence of a statewide campaign focusing on the two peninsulas, the Michigans.
You know, when I think of all of these campaigns, you've got to figure some politics got involved, which means we must turn to our own Rick Pluta to chime in with any war stories. So, Rick, what kind of politics might have gotten involved in these campaigns?
Well, when Jim Blanchard was governor, he took the Say Yes to Michigan campaign that had been started under Governor Bill Milliken and adjusted it. It became Yes! Exclamation point, Michigan.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was, Mark can fill me in, it was in the late 1980s, right?
Yes, correct.
And so we were leading into the 1990 gubernatorial race, and everybody knew that it was going to be Governor Blanchard seeking a third term versus the then Senate Majority Leader, John Engler. And there were complaints among Republicans and by the Engler camp and Engler himself that these promotions, both for tourism and for business, a lot of that money was being spent in state. And so it seemed like a promotion aimed at making people feel good about Michigan and the Blanchard administration and the way things were going and, you know, people, you know, showing optimistic thumbs up and stuff like that. And so there was a complaint that, you know, these promotional campaigns were also being used as political tools.
And how did that all play out?
Well, you know what? Governor Blanchard get to spend the money, but we know how the election of 1990 played out.
We certainly do. Quite a tour of Michigan's past tourism campaigns, as we've been talking with State Archivist Mark Harvey with the Michigan History Center and the political slant from our own Rick Pluta, our Michigan Radio Lansing Bureau Chief. Guys, thanks so much.
You
Thank
bet.
You.